Today, I wanted to look at the question of yachatz, of breaking the matzah as a sort of further development of that symbol. And as we're going to see, the place in which you break matzah is also wrapped up in this question of where, what kind of symbol is matzah? The placement, I mean, meaning in the order of the Seder, when you would break the matzah is wrapped up in what is the matzah doing? What is it symbolizing at that moment? And just to be aware of, it's a choice that we make to break the matzah before Magid, as opposed to breaking the matzah right before you eat it. In other words, every other time that you eat bread, you break it in the moment of eating it. But on Seder, we're so used to this, so we have to sort of unmoor ourselves from our normal expectations. It's not totally normal to break the matzah way, way before you eat it. Breaking the matzah is what you would expect to do right before you eat it, not an hour before you eat it. And so we're gonna try to understand how that plays into what is the symbol of the matzah itself and how both of these aspects are present at our seders. Okay, first of all, just to remind ourselves that at least on Shabbat, it's not totally obvious that this applies to festivals as well, but at least on Shabbat, we have a tradition to have two loaves of bread. Most of us remember this from the story of the man. Vayihi bayom hashishi, on the sixth day of the week, laktu lechem mishneh, shnei haomer leechad. On the sixth day of the week, instead of everybody getting one portion of man, of that amazing, magical food in the desert, rather they got a double portion, lechem mishneh. Lechem in the Bible probably means food more than bread, although later comes to mean a sort of exclusively bread, that's why we translate it often as a double portion as opposed to a double loaf, but you could go either way and just certainly comes to mean a loaf. Shnei ha'omer le'echad, and the volume is doubled when it's Friday and you're preparing for Shabbat, because as B'nai Israel tested in a science experiment, if you go out and collect it on Shabbat, there isn't going to be any there. So they had to get a double portion, even though normally that portion wouldn't last over to the next day, would rot. On Friday, it had this special quality that would last into Shabbat. Okay, so that's the verse in the Torah. And actually we saw when we were studying the Amidah of Shabbat that the Amidah quotes the verses of the sacrifices on Shabbat, which are simply double the daily sacrifice. So if on a regular day you sacrifice one lamb in the morning and one lamb in the evening or towards evening, on Shabbat, you're double. Preparing for Shabbat, we're going to double, although it leaves us with the same amount for each day. You just spread it forward. So now we see in the Talmud how this verse leads us to the tradition of blessing on two loaves on Shabbat. Amar bi Abba, b'Shabbat chayav adam litzoh al shtei kikarot. On Shabbat, a person is obligated to break apart, meaning to make hamotzi, to break bread on two loaves. As it says, lechem mishneh, as it says, and now they're reading lechem not as food, but as bread, there should be a double amount of bread. Okay, so that's sort of the derivation of why we have two loaves on Shabbat. It's not totally obvious from this statement that you would need two loaves on Friday night and two loaves on Saturday lunch. In fact, it would be the most obvious would be you have two loaves, one you eat on Friday night, the second one you set aside for the next day. But our minhag has evolved to, we all know that you actually have to buy three loaves to get through Shabbat if you want to make it on whole loaves of bread. But it seems from here that at least on Friday night, you're going to be having two loaves of bread because of the verse that we read in the Torah. And then we have this report of Rav Kahana, of Rav Ashi, who sees Rav Kahana, who took two loaves in his hand. Dinakatarte took two loaves, ubatzachada, but he only broke one of them. As it says, liktu. It's written, they collected double the bread, meaning that you collect the bread, but you actually would presumably save the second one for the next day. So you bring both loaves of bread, you break one of them. That's the tradition we have of Rav Kahana, and presumably setting aside the second one. But here you have, again, sort of a template of two loaves of bread, one of them is broken. And that's going to give us a little bit of background for where we're headed with our Seder. So this story is reported also in Masechet Brachot. And then we get into a little bit of a debate about exactly how you do Hamotzi on a regular day. But then Rav Papa comes and says the following. He says, Hakol Modim, everybody agrees that on Pesach, one places the broken piece inside the full one, inside the Shlema, and then you botzea, then you make the blessing for Hamotzi. Why? What's the reason? Lechem Oni. Because, and we saw this term yesterday, because this is a poor person's bread. Okay, so in a normal Shabbat and festival, you have two full loaves of bread and you put those together and you break one of them. But Rav Papa says that on Pesach, you actually don't have two full loaves of bread. You have 1.5 loaves of bread. You're starting off with a broken piece of bread. Why? Because of the description of the matzah as lechem oni, as poor person's bread. Okay, so again, on the question of whether matzah is a symbol of redemption versus whether it's a symbol of suffering, Rav Papa's coming down on the symbol of suffering. Less bread is a sign of less fullness and more suffering. And so the 1.5 bread total that Rav Papa says everybody agrees with is symbolic of the suffering that we have in Egypt. Now, we have two things that we still have to sort out. When are you having this ritual taking place with the piece and a half being blessed upon? Rav Papa doesn't make that explicit. Like, at what point in the Seder are you doing the ritual of the 1.5 breads as opposed to the two breads? And then we have the other problem of, in our Seder, we actually have 2.5 breads, not 1.5 breads, which is again, cunning against this idea of I'm having less than normal. Now we actually have more than normal. We have 2+ as opposed to 2-. But let's just see if I say to you, okay, how am I making Hamotzi? How am I doing it with 2 loaves of bread? Oh, on Pesach, we do it with 1.5. It seems obvious that you're doing this in the context of about to eat the bread. You're about to put that food in your mouth. And now you're sort of organizing, well, how am I doing the ritual before I start eating? And indeed, we have some post-Talmudic sources that make it clear that this is happening right before the eating of the bread. We have Rav Shrira Gaon, 10th century, says it's the widespread law in all places that one blesses on 2 loaves of bread on Shabbat and holidays. That's the base case. But Ubelel Pesach, alachat b'chetzi. But on the night of Pesach, we actually do 1.5. And that is like the 2 loaves, meaning the 1.5 is what would be normally 2 loaves. And that's because of lechem oni, which is half. Oni is splitting it. Now, when does this breaking take place? Rav Shrira, the context of Rav Shrira Gaon seems to indicate that it's happening right before what we call motzi matzah, right before we are making hamotzi. That is to say, after Magid, long after where our poem tells us yachat, that you're breaking the bread. In Rav Shrira Gaon, there is no yachat. It's just when you break the bread, the bread happens, that piece and a half takes center stage, not at the beginning of the Seder, but rather at the beginning of the meal. And the Rambam, Maimonides, makes this clear as well. He says, lokeach shnei rikikin, you take the 2 loaves, as it were, cholek echad mehen, you break one of them, u'miniach prus l'toch shalem, you put the broken piece inside the full piece. You can imagine a softer matzah, by the way, if you were gonna literally put one piece into another. It's hard to fold our striped matzah these days, but in a world in which the matzah was softer, Syrian matzah today is still like that. You could imagine like a lafa, like putting it inside, one inside the other. And then what does he say? U'mivarech hamotzi lechem min haaretz, right? And then you're gonna make the bracha for hamotzi. That is to say, the whole breaking of the matzah takes place immediately before you eat the matzah. And you could imagine the shock of, like, normally you don't break the bread until after you say hamotzi. On a regular Shabbat, you have 2 whole loaves of bread. That's the whole point. And then you're breaking it only after you say the blessing. Here, we're breaking the bread right before we say the blessing and only saying the blessing on a piece and a half. And that's sort of like, pulling at your heartstrings of, I know this should be a full 2 loaves. I'm only seeing 1.5. And that's lechem oni. That's the poverty bread, the poor person's bread. Okay, but how do we end up doing it the way we do it, which is to say yachatz, which is to say the breaking of the bread before magid, as opposed to before the meal, like an hour and a half or 5 hours, depending how long your magid is, way, way before you're eating, you're breaking the bread. So again, we saw yesterday that we have these two competing understandings of lechem oni. I'm going to start with the second one in this selection from Masechet Pesachim. Lechem oni, it's oni kativ, that is to say, it's missing the letter vav, it's just ayin nun yud, which is to say it's reduced. Ma oni shedarko bifrusa, afkan bifrusa. Just as a poor person who also has a reduced diet and a broken piece of bread, a prusa, a slice, so too here we have a slice. Okay, so lechem oni means on Seder night you should have a slice, a broken piece, and that just seems to be Rav Papa's tradition of everybody agrees on Pesach, you don't have two loaves, you have a loaf and a half. And that is what we've been seeing. That's how you would make hamotzi right before you eat it. But of course we have right before that opinion, this is a Devar Acher, this is the second opinion, but the first opinion in the Talmud, in the section we saw yesterday, Amar Shmuel, lechem oni, lechem she'onin alav dvarim, right? That you answer upon it many things, or dvarim harbe, as the Braita says. So here we have this tension of, is lechem oni a reduced amount of food, a poor person's bread? It's not just flat and hasn't risen, but there's less of it total. That's the Devar Acher. And then Shmuel is saying, no, this is the thing in which you are going to tell the story over, which is why we put it earlier in our Seder. That is to say, when I break the bread at Yachatz, it's not just to start off the process of the Afikomen, but also it's to say, we are not using this bread to eat, we are using this bread to tell. The bread is onin alav dvarim. We're going to answer things about, like around it or upon it, as opposed to eating it. The matzah becomes the sort of the storytelling catalyst, as opposed to the thing I wish there were more of when I'm eating my meal. Again, imagine that anxiety of there's not enough food at Seder, and you're sort of in the poor person's bread side of it. Okay, so when we see Yachatz, just note it is a strange shift from when we should be eating the matzah, right before Motzi Matzah, that's the way the Rambam did it, and then advancing it earlier in the Seder to do Lechem Oni She'onin Alav Dvarim Harbeh. And we get other attestations to this even in the Gaonic period of Amram Gaon, the 9th century. He says, you're going to bring, now we have three matzot, and you take one of them, the Seder leader takes one of them, splits it, and puts it on the table as opposed to eats it. And this is coming in his Haggadah right before Magid. So here's already an attestation in the 9th century of you're breaking the bread, but not right before the meal. You're breaking the bread right before the telling. And you're going to break the bread and leave it on the table. And then we have the way in which we sort of do things now. One takes this from the Torah, 13th century. One takes the middle matzah, breaks it in half, places half with one of the meal attendees to guard it for the Afikoman. Nowadays we hide it, but you're supposed to hold on to that for later. Some interpretations say that's because poor people hide away their bread for later. They can't eat it all at once. They save it for a later meal. And one places it under the cloth in memory of this verse, their kneading bowls wrapped in their cloaks. That's why you wrap it up in a mapa. The second half one places between the other two whole loaves. So now we got three total, but you got two and a half. So that one will take out the whole loaf first when one comes to the blessing of Hamotzi, but that is the one to break. Okay, so now we're getting into the real technicals of how you're going to make Hamotzi. But the point is that when we started off the idea of having a loaf and a half, that's associated with the meal. You break your bread in half and then you eat it. But the way we do it now, the Yachatz that shows up in our poem, is you break the bread in order to tell the story. And this symbol that was only about poor person's bread transforms, even at the beginning of our Seder, to be that redemptive element, the symbol, the catalyst that's going to launch our storytelling.